Blog Talk Radio.
There will be days that just go wrong. Make you wanna holler and shout and throw your hands up in the air, wondering what it's all about. Mm-hmm. And you think that things can get much worse in a second. Oh. Whatever don't kill you makes you strong. Don't you worry, it won't be long. Darkness comes before the dawn. Take it one day at a time. God's grace, you're gonna be fine. You got what it takes down in time. Road ain't alone. Keep on keeping on. Stand in your way.
They're always saying,
always saying what you cannot do. Mm-hmm. Don't stop chasing your dreams and working hard to make them come true. Oh. And if it ever gets you tough, just remember. Don't kill you, makes you strong. Don't you worry, it won't be long. Darkness comes before the dawn. Take it one day at a time. With God's grace, you're gonna be fine. You got what it takes down inside. The road ain't alone. Keep on keeping on. Keeping on, whatever don't kill you makes you strong. Don't you worry, it won't be long. Darkness comes before the dawn. I'll give you one better time. With God's grace, you're gonna be fine. You got what it takes down inside.
I know you were nervous because I didn't get logged in time to say hello before the show started. This is Contending for Truth Radio. This is Scott Osborne. This is American Sovereignty Radio. We're going to have some good discussion tonight. Dan, Jennifer's not here yet, but she should be here shortly. I am broadcasting from on the road tonight. We're broadcasting some good friends from church. Brian and Paulette just fed me. My belly is fat. Some of real wonderful food. And a friend, Joanne, over here, we're just having some great fellowship and having a good time. Let me tell you, Dan, I thought it was about 8 o'clock. We were having such a good time. Time got away from me, and I pulled out my phone to look, and it was 10 minutes until. And you had just went ahead and messaged me, and I went, oh, my goodness, we got to get this show started. So we're going to have a great time. We've got some great things going on this week in Texas, of course, and some great things going on down in Florida. All kinds of news and current events to talk about. But with that, Dan Wilson, how are you doing down there in the number two state of Florida?
Working on going for number one.
Just give us a year and we'll be there. And but the weather's been wonderful over here, and I have no complaints. And looks like we're starting to come around ourselves. Rick Scott is starting to make some moves over towards being a little more conservative on our end. And we got a couple of candidates coming up that look like they might be pretty good on the conservative end. And we'll see. It's coming up shortly, so hopefully we'll have better choices than right now. Charlie Crist is it's not exactly a choice, in my opinion. You know, that guy has changed political parties more than the Rays have been changing pitchers. So I'm watching the Rays game right now, too. And, you know, it looks like the grassroots movement's really coming in. And we've done some really, really good things over the past few weeks. And, you know, if we keep this up, each state starts working on waking people up. We can make some changes this year, some big changes. And, you know, that's what it's all about. It's, you know, informing the people, letting them know what happened. I've been watching on, CNN, and they said that if Hillary ran for president now, 70% of the people would vote for her. And I'm thinking to myself, in a crock of bologna. I mean, it's...
I doubt it.
I mean, I'd be the first one out there and say, can you say Benghazi? Can you say extortion 17? Can you say 34 dead because of you? I would not. I'd be the first one out there screaming bloody murder. Because that's what she is, a murderer. And I will sing it from the highest mountain. So what's going on in Texas? I've been hearing a lot about your borders and people asking you to shut down your borders.
Well, yeah, Dan, let me tell you, it's crazy right now. They're just pouring across the borders. The administration is basically... put the signal out. Just come on across the border. We're going to eventually give you amnesty. And it's very unfortunate. A lot of kids are coming across the border without their parents. I'll tell you, though, Texas is out ready to do something about it. This is Texas. We, you know, they don't put up a lot, don't put up with as much as you do out in California. They'd been better off to open up Tijuana. They could have gotten a whole lot further. They've just done it, basically made Texas very angry. You know, Wendy Davis and Battleground Texas have done a great job of helping keep Texas red. You know, they've really done a lot of backfiring in what they did, and I think this is going to even create a worse situation. You know, Dan, it's kind of insane. And, you know, talking about Hillary Clinton, I saw a poll this week where she has dropped in the last 6 months. She's dropped 20 points. And there was an article in Real Clear Politics today giving five different reasons why they didn't think she would run. And you know me, Dan. I've been saying for 3 years I didn't think Hillary was going to run. I think she's tired of politics. I think she wants to go retire. I know that Dick Morris has been saying the whole time she's not running, and he knows the Clintons better than anybody. I think what she's been doing is she's been weeding out as much as she can of the thought of running so she can help raise money for 2016. But I think when it all comes down to it, I don't think she's going to run. I think Julian Castro from here in Texas, who was raised by a socialist mother, let's put it this way. Julian Castro makes Barack Obama look like Ronald Reagan. That's how crazy the Castro brothers are and their mom. And I think they might have their eyes on him, although I think they'd be on a losing proposition to do that.
But, you know, Dan, other things going on great here in Texas. Of course, we got all our elections out of the way except for one more. You know, I moved here to Texas and found out that everything's bigger in Texas, including the election schedule. I've been here since January. We've had three elections. We had the primary, and I thought, yeah, we'll have a primary, and, you know, once in a while you have a runoff. No, Texas primaries are set up to make runoffs. So then we had the runoff election, but between the runoff election, we had the special election, and now there's another special election coming up August 5th, and then we have the big election in November. So things, Brian's over here busting the gut. Let me just sit here with some official Texans. Here in the living room listening, I got a studio audience tonight, Dan. Isn't that wonderful? Generally broadcast from the garage, and you know, Dan, we have that conversation. But I got an actual studio audience tonight, including the Pomeranian, who is the sweetest little dog you've ever did see. And she's just laying there just taking it all in. But, you know, we got to remember everybody. Keep Sid Miller in your prayers. You know, taking a couple of a week's break. Really, none of us have done anything, but getting ready to really do some pushing. Sid's got some places he's going to be speaking at and doing some other things. We've got in a couple of in about 6 weeks, Eddie Erickson's Red State has a big meeting going on over in Fort Worth. We'll probably be broadcasting one of our shows over there. Rodney Lee Conover, Thursday night, well, this is a good chance to mention that, Rodney Lee Conover, Conover U on Thursday night, same time here on Contending for Truth Radio. Rodney and his sidekick, that would be me, talking politics. Rodney's going to be here in Texas, Dan. I finally got Rodney to come from California to Texas, and we're going to be going to that Red State meeting over there in Fort Worth. We'll be having a good time, and a lot of things going up between here and then. And, Dan, while we're talking, I'm going to look and see if we've got Jennifer Montrose on the line yet. Jennifer, of course, has been really busy fighting the environmentalists in Louisiana. It's a fight against Tony the Tiger. They're trying to take Tony away from Michael Sandlin, who has had him and lovingly taken care of him for 14 years, by the animal rights activists. And if you haven't studied animal rights, you know, we all believe in animal welfare. I'm an animal lover. I've been petting this dog ever since we got in here. It didn't take very long for the dog to realize that I would scratch his back and give him all kinds of love, and he keeps coming over. And I love my cat. We've talked about my cat on this show, my little mini Black Panther, who I love dearly. I'm a big believer in animal welfare. I like people to take good care of their animals. Well, let me tell you, Dan, we got a lot of people out there that believe in animal rights. And they're the same people that would go to infinite measures to save a cockroach, but have no problem whatsoever with killing an unborn baby. And they actually believe that animals have more rights than human beings. And that's the people that Jennifer's been facing over there in Louisiana, folks. She did a great job. She got in there. She jumped in with the legislature. They passed their bill overwhelmingly, got to the Senate, passed it overwhelmingly. And I do believe, I haven't heard from Jennifer in the last couple of days, but I do believe Governor Jindal went ahead and signed that bill. So we're proud of her, but she's not in yet. We look forward to her. Dan, I can't type in Facebook real easy. I'm doing everything on my phone, but if you'll chat in there and see where she's at, she's going to be on the show with us tonight while you're chatting. But,
that's,
you know,
no problem.
Some of the things going on today in the news is really interesting. We have some wild things going on, not just across the border here, but we've got Baghdad. The president has decided to send the USS George Bush over there into the Gulf. You got the Taliban that are getting ready to try and undo everything we did when we were over there in Baghdad. We've got people coming across the border every which way but loose here in Texas. It really is. It's been an exciting news week. You're down there in Florida. How many people do you got? Do you see an uptick in people swimming across that 90 miles of shark-infested water from Cuba to get up to Florida and touch land, or is it only coming from Mexico?
Well, I don't think too many people want to jump in the water and swim, so I think they're making it a lot easier than just walking. So... We aren't seeing too much action over here, sharks like people for dinner, and walking across the desert, you're pretty safe unless you don't bring enough water, huh? So I think they're going to go into Texas and, you know, Arizona and wherever else they can get across without getting shot. And which means pretty much from Arizona to California. And this president, I cannot believe what he is doing. You know, while all this is happening, he's in Palm Springs playing golf. Does this bloody guy work at all?
Well, you know, Dan, a lot of conservatives have a problem with how much the president golfs. But I've always been of the opinion I'd rather have him golfing as much as possible and staying out of what's going on. I think we're better off if he sits every day from here on out on the golf course and stay out of it.
I hate to say it. I agree with you. I mean, this guy is... he has done more damage to this country. We might as well just let him fly over on Air Force One and blow a few, you know, $10 or $20 million to get over to Palm Springs to play golf and keep him out of our hair.
Well, that's what he's trying to spin in Washington D.C. because he doesn't know the difference between the executive branch and the legislative branch. Obviously. And you know, Dan, we got some other good news I wanted to mention here in Texas. The Attorney General Greg Abbott, who looks like is most likely going to be our next governor of Texas, got to shake his hand a couple of weeks ago and talk to him about people coming from California. He put the word out today that, you know, we've been fighting Common Core. Texas never passed Common Core in the first place. But the Attorney General put out a statement that basically ended any more of Common Core here in Texas, which is a big deal. Because even though that the state turned around and made C-Scope, which was Common Core's little cousin that they did here in Texas, made it illegal, a lot of school districts were still trying to align themselves with Common Core. And the Attorney General said it's not going to happen. And also basically sent out a big encouragement that they need to stop changing the ACT and the SAT over to those Common Core standards, which is a big deal within itself. And you know, Dan, when we look at all of the things that the president is trying to accomplish, I look at it this way. You know, if you pull a pendulum back so far, the further you pull it back, when it swings the other way, it goes a long way. And we remember, you know, I was a little kid. You were a little bit older than I am, Dan, but not by a whole lot. You were a young man when Jimmy Carter was president. And this country saw a swing in one direction that it did not like. And when that pendulum swung the other direction, we got a Ronald Reagan. So I am really, really hoping that as these next couple of years go on, all of the craziness that is going on in Washington, D.C., and it's absolutely insane, some of the things that are going on up there right now. We could start making a list right now of just things that have happened this last week. But our Congress is finally fighting back. Our Congress is still fighting back. The president is basically overstepping his bounds right and left. You know, they've got all these emails. This one's cracking me up, Dan. I'm sure you saw this. The Lois Lerner emails are all of a sudden missing. They said that the computer crashed. They had a computer crash and lost all the emails. Now, you know, the younger generation is the one that's going to be laughing this time. A lot of the older generation doesn't realize that your emails don't sit on your computer. They sit on a server somewhere. So when Washington uses the excuse that the computer crashed in the email, the emails are all gone. The younger generation is not buying that. They know exactly, number one, that they're lying. Well, that was last week. Now, this week they said the six other witnesses, oh, their computers crashed too. And you know,
I wrote a piece on Pundit Express on that. And I was explaining how it is impossible for computers to crash, a single, you know, six people's computers to crash. For one thing, you know, what sits on your desk is nothing more than a monitor and a keyboard that's attached to a cable. And that's it. And then it goes out to the server. The server has... computers today are not like the old super mainframes of yesterday here. They pile them on what they call racks. And what they do is have a series of three, 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 three. And each one has a motherboard with a CPU on. And what they do is every three of them do the exact same series of commands, and then what it does is it turns around and they check with each other, and then they say, okay, we agree, and it goes down to the next three, and it keeps on doing that down right down the row. And when it comes down to turning around on a hard drive, they have what they call RAID. And what RAID is a series of hard drives working together where one byte of information per drive is put in. Then the next byte of information is put into the next drive. Then, and it goes through six drives. And then they're in stripes of three, with the third one being a what they call a parity drive. A parity stripe, and what the parity does is that if one or two or three hard drives go down, the parity drive can mathematically figure out what was lost and replace it. So, in other words, it's impossible. You know, what Lois Lerner is saying and what the IRS is saying is about the biggest fallacy since global warming. I mean, this is, it's, their lies are getting so ridiculous. It's actually getting comical.
It is, Dan.
I mean, next thing you know, they're going to tell us the Wizard of Oz came down, he grabbed the drives and he accidentally floated away in his balloon. I mean,
he says the dog ate my homework, and you know that is the truth. I mean, that's what it's really, really starting to look like. But I'll tell you, I can't remember what congressman it was. I want to say Louis Gohmert because we love Louis Gohmert, but it wasn't him. Maybe it was I don't remember who, but he had the greatest answer of the whole week, and he says, "Well, I tell you what. We'll go to NSA, who's been collecting all this metadata, and they can give us the information." And I guess Lois Lerner sat there and went, because we know now. I mean, we know enough about servers to know that the dog ate my homework is not working on this one. So, but what it does tell us is it does tell us there's some very incriminating things in those emails. And I'll tell you, Benghazi's starting to really fall apart on them. We've got Trey Gowdy getting ready to just really eat him up on that. And we've got some interesting stuff coming out. I really believe, Dan, this is going to be an interesting summer. We've still got Sheriff Arpaio sitting on this investigation into this birth certificate they released that they know is 100% it was a faked birth certificate. And he's got 1,000 sheriffs sitting on that information. Was supposed to come out. And, you know, Dan, I've never believed that he wasn't born in Hawaii. I think he was born in Hawaii. I think we've got the birth announcement in the papers to prove it. But I'll tell you, I think the man has spent his entire life lying about who he was. We know he lied himself in college because we've got a pamphlet that he put out that calls himself a Kenyan. So I think he's told so many different stories about his life, he's had to lock everything up and try and keep it straight. But I'll tell you, it's going to be an interesting summer. as we go further. And we know that he has hired this lawyer. You know, your White House counsel generally is one kind of lawyer, but he's hired a lawyer that's used to dealing with scandal, all kinds of different scandals through the years. That's his specialty. So it looks like they're getting ready for quite an interesting summer. I know that Katie Couric and who else was it this week really let both Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton have it. The news media is falling apart. And also, Chris Matthews, when it comes to this prisoner swap, the very first day, came out and said, uh-uh. And then did you see, Dan, Chris Matthews coming out and saying it's time to quit demonizing the Tea Party because they might have something very important to say? I really do believe, finally, that the president is losing the news media, which has been his buffer from the American people. This is that time of the night where I talk about all the people in their homes all across the United States. You know, generally I'm standing in my driveway looking out at the houses behind me, and I see all the people. And I know that if I sat in each one of those homes for a little while and talked about basic conservative principles, smaller government versus big government, different things like that, I imagine 90% of the people would agree with me on basic premise. However, when we go into those same houses, the majority of those people, they come home from work, they watch a couple of sitcoms, they watch a couple of evening serials. They don't pay attention to current events. They think Benghazi is some Italian food. They've never paid any attention to what's going on. And I think as we continue to wake people up, we know, Dan, that there are people all the time right now getting those letters from their insurance company all of a sudden telling them that they don't like their insurance anymore and that they can't have it anymore. We've got that situation out there. And I just really think, Dan, I think you and I are going to have a lot of fun this summer watching politics in Washington, D.C. I think the whole thing is really, really starting to fall apart on them. What do you think?
Oh, I think the deck of cards is coming down. And nothing he can do to change that. I mean, once Benghazi comes down, it is so directly linked into Extortion 17. And once that comes out into the public eye, you know what's going to hit the fan. When they found out that they killed off SEAL Team 6, as a, you know, to try to appease the Taliban, then things are going to really start rocking and rolling. And, you know, all I'm hearing today is, you know, the press has said it's time to abandon ship because if we stay with this jerk, we're going to look like a bunch of fools. So people are starting to bail right and left. I mean, this boat's going down. It's going down fast. And as you said, this summer it's going to get interesting. I think this is going to be the biggest scandal in the history of this country. Well, I know it's going to be. And then it's going to turn around, and it is going to do irreparable damage to the Democratic Party. It'll take them years to recover from this one. They can't just slide this one under the table like they did with Carter. You know, they can't just pretend that Carter wasn't there. Or they can't pretend, you know, what Johnson did or what Clinton did. You know, it's to the point now where it has gotten so out of control that, I mean, when you see Dianne Feinstein and Nancy Pelosi standing up against him, you know that he's lost it. And he's staying right now in Palm Springs because he's afraid to come back. And I would too if I were him. I'm hoping that actually they bring formal charges against him as soon as he leaves office. And to let everybody know, now that Hillary's no longer in office, they can bring formal charges against her. And I hope people do. I hope that happens. Because they could even bring her up on third-degree murder and throw her in jail. And I hope that happens with Benghazi. And if that, you know, Benghazi's not enough, we can work with Extortion 17. Because we can start, and people are starting to listen to what we're putting out in these various syndications, like, you know, the Pundit Express. They're starting to listen and read what we're talking about. And, you know, the more we keep on spreading the word, the more we keep on adding, then the better our chances are of getting him out. And if we can get him, or if nothing else, if we can get impeachment going during the November election, that's going to essentially take out the Democratic Party for November. And this is what I'm hoping for, is that we get impeachment going, and I think we have a real good chance of taking control of the Senate. And if impeachment's underway, and we take over the Senate, by the time he's impeached through Congress, he'll they'll go right over to Senate, and they're going to go, yep. And they're going to throw him out of office, and I hope they do a heck of a lot more than that, too. And, so I agree with you. I think it's going to be an interesting summer. And, he's going to be charged with something. I think so far he's broken 139 laws or something. Something like that. And, he's had Hillary's done this. Biden has done this. Holder has done this. The whole group is going to go down in flames. And I'm going to be laughing the entire way as they all go. Because they finally, I couldn't think of three better people to be thrown out of office and be charged with criminal charges. And I'm looking forward to it so much. We have put so much effort into this, and to finally see our efforts being are paying off, it's so great. It's we've been working diligently since the days of Herman Cain. And it's nice to see our work paying off. And with that, passing it back to you.
Well, and definitely, Dan, and, we're sitting around here. We're having a great time. I always love it when somebody see what you and I and Jennifer and Rodney do here on Blog Talk, talking a little bit about ladies' Bible class that we've got. We want to go through. I'm not sure how long my phone's going to last, Dan. I've been having problems with this phone the last couple of weeks. I'm very thankful right now it's sitting at 29%, because remember when I was at the convention, it was dying at 33%. So hopefully we got a little while longer. But I want to mention Ladies Bible Class on Fridays here on Contending for Truth Radio at 12:30 Texas time, 1:30 the second state, Florida time, and that, of course, is 10:30 California time. And then we've got Rodney Lee Conover and Conover U on Thursday nights at the same time. And then, Dan, you and I have Saturday Symposium on Saturdays at 11 o'clock Texas time and 12 o'clock Florida time. We're going to have some great guests coming up here. I've been working on getting in contact with some more people for some more guests. We've had some great guests in the past few weeks. Dan, we've done a lot of talking about cause and effect. We know that we've had like George Yang and we had Dr. Maciel, and we had Enrique, and who else? We got one from China, one from Cuba, one was in Vietnam, and one was one more where? We've had four, haven't we? And
Romania.
Romania, that's right. Where they were raised in this system that the president is trying to take us back to. And you know, I really think the American people are just smarter than that. I really do. And that's what we talk a lot about on Saturday's symposium. We talk a lot about cause and effect and about history. And, you know, Dan, when those founders were in that room in 1787, when they were in that small room with the windows closed, doors closed, and they were writing our Constitution, they knew that eventually there would be some moron who would try and take us down the road we're going down right now. And so what they said was, they said the federal government can't have that much control. We're going to give that control to the states. And I think that's going to be another one of the things that we're going to watch, Dan. I think we're going to watch, as this summer goes on, the state standing up over and over and over again against this nonsense. Now, we already know Texas is standing up. Texas has already basically told BLM to take your BLM right back to Washington, D.C., and leave your BLM in Washington, D.C. We know that the states in the West, the federal government owns a good portion of the land. Well, right now, Utah, Wyoming, some of these other states are now turning around and saying, no, we're going to start taking that land back. I think we're going to see a lot of that happen this summer. But we know that there's a couple of things going on right now we've really, really got to watch out for. And that's the EPA right now is trying to change the definition of water. And if you listeners, I want to encourage you, you go to that EPA site and you sign that. It's open for public discussion right now on the site. And you tell them that federal government cannot micromanage. If you have to type the federal government cannot micromanage 25 times, you type it in there. Because they basically already control 40% of Texas's water, and they want to change the definition of what is water to include canals and everything down to a pothole out in the middle of the street. They want to control 100% of the water. Now, they're going to have a hard time doing that in Texas because Sam Houston was a very smart man. Sam Houston, when he made the deal for Texas to become a state, told the federal government, you can't have any of the water off of the coast. You know, most states, you go to California, and California owns the first maybe three miles off of the coast, and the rest, the last seven, the federal government owns. Well, not so in Texas. Texas owns all 10 miles all the way out there. That's why we're able to do so much with the oil. But you know we're fighting those things right now, Dan. And I'm gonna pass it back to you. But I want you to keep in mind I'm at 27% right now. If all of a sudden I disappear, Dan, that means that the phone has died and I am stuck. Oh, Jennifer, and it looks like Jennifer won't be calling in any either. So if we get to that point, Dan, I'll just let you go ahead and do what you want with the show. Gonna have to start looking for a new phone here soon. Everything's fine until I go to sit down and do a show. And when you got the studio open and you got the phone open, it takes the battery quick. But anyways, Dan, I really think that the states are going to be the ones that are going to have to fight back over all this. We know right now that the states are fighting Obamacare. Georgia has just basically outlawed Obamacare in Georgia. We know that the states are one by one knocking over Common Core. We know that the states are one by one getting up, standing up and fighting the EPA, the BLM, so on and so forth. We know that so far all of the presidential candidates that are starting to look are ready to knock out the IRS. And did you see that today where Congress defunded 15% of the money that was supposed to go to the IRS? They cut them back 15%. And basically left them with enough money to do their job so that they cannot spend their time going after people that the president doesn't like the way they talk. You know, it's one of the reasons it's so nice, Dan, to be a stay-at-home uncle with a very low income. The IRS can chase me all they want. I don't care. We'll just keep talking. But I really do, Dan. I think the states are finally, after 5 years,
really starting to stand up. And I think right now what needs to happen is Obama needs to stand up and say, all right, we're going to come take your guns. I think the rest of the states will really stand up at that point, except for Connecticut and Massachusetts. They seem to be okay with them taking their guns. I can't wait. I'll tell you, Dan, I had a conversation with one of my friends and your friends, Georgia and Robert, sweet elderly couple that are very active on social media. And she was a little bit worried about them coming into Texas and taking the guns. And I said, well, Georgia, I think if they go to taking guns, I think Texas will be the last place that they start. I think it would be not a real bright move if the president decided that Texas was where he was going to start collecting guns. He might find out what come and take it really means. But
exactly.
I think they better start up there in Vermont, where they elected Bernie Sanders, a socialist, for decades now. Might be a better place to start taking guns. But with that, Dan, I'm going to pass it back to you, and I'll let you go. And I'll, my phone starts to die here pretty soon. I'll jump in real quick. But with that, I gave you plenty of fodder to talk about. I'll let you run with it for a while.
Even Vermont,
studio audience.
What? Even Vermont and Maine, if you try to take the people's guns, regardless of what the government, state government says, they're going to tell you where to stick it where the sun don't shine. And as down here, the two worst states you will ever run into when it comes down to trying to take your weapons is Florida and Texas. We like our guns. And I got my Colt 45 sitting about 3 feet away from me. And there are about 3 million Texans over there doing about the same thing. And there's about the same amount of Floridians with their guns sitting right next to them, too. And it's, if you want to take our guns, be my guest. You come into my house, and I can promise you, I know you'll have your bulletproof vest on, but I know what a 45 will feel like from 10 feet away, and it's going to hurt like hell. It may not kill you, but it'll hurt like hell. And I'll do what the SEALs do. I'll do a double kick, and then the next person can come in, I'll do the exact same thing. And you're going to have a lot of people with some nice welts on their chests. And there are a lot of people out there, you know, in Texas that are going to be doing it with a little higher power weapons than I have. They will succeed. And our Second Amendment says that, you know, you come in and try to take something from my personal property, we have the right to defend our own places. And we have the right to defend our counties, our state, whatever we choose. And if we want to set up militias along our state borders and say, come along, be my guest, but you're in for a war. And you're going to see militias from all over, whatever state the government chooses to attack, you're going to see militias from all over arriving in mass force and ready for them to fire the first shot, because when they do, things are going to get ugly. And that's what our Second Amendment is all about. I wrote a piece on the Second Amendment the other day, and I wrote down and I explained exactly what the Second Amendment was designed for. And in the Federalist Papers, it's saying, you know, for protection from both enemies, both foreign and domestic. And the domestic part they're talking about is federal government. Because our forefathers sat there and they go, one day our people are going to mess up. And then the federal, they're going to give the federal government too much power, and they're going to need to get themselves out of it. And the Second Amendment is a way to ensure that the states can protect themselves and they can defend, you know, they can stop the government from coming in. And I've been going around on a regular basis, and I've been reminding the military of their oath. They swear, they all swore an oath to the Constitution, not the president. And I keep on reminding everyone, and, you know, for all our military friends out there, remember, you swore an oath to our Constitution. That means us, the people, not the government. Because the government reports to the people, and it's not the other way around. So if they order you to attack us, the people of this country, you have the legal and constitutional duty to stand up and say no. And if they keep on pushing you, you fly your helicopter or your jet, you land it on our side, we'll refuel you, and you go after them. Because that's what we're going to have to do. And if we got to blow up Washington like happened in 1812, then so be it. But at that point, then the president will be a wanted man. And we'll hunt him down like a coon dog hunting down a coon, a raccoon. And we'll find him, and we'll charge him with what he did with high treason. So it's... If this is where the president wants it to go, then we'll allow it to go that way. It's not our choice. I was saying the other day, if I never have to aim my gun at a fellow human being, it'll be the happiest time of my life. Because I have no desire to hurt anybody, but I will defend my family, and I will defend my Constitution, and I will defend my nation. And if I'm, you know, if we're brought to that situation, then we do what we have to do. I mean, let's end it in the voting booth instead, though, so we can make it a lot nicer. I'd rather do that than end up in another civil war. And I'd rather keep my gun just aiming at a piece of paper or a target and not another person. I have no desire to shoot anybody, but I have that gun to protect, too. I enjoy doing my target shooting, but its primary purpose is to protect. And, I'll do what I have to do, and just like all our other patriots. And the militias out there, I tell you the same thing, is that you do not take the offensive. You strictly stay at a as a defensive entity, and you make the federal government make the first move. This way, we're doing everything legal by the Constitution, and that's what I want everybody to do. And what I'm writing right now is a post that's going to basically tell how to downsize the federal government and who you can do without, and the EPA is one of them, because the EPA could easily, that's being used, you know, the EPA today is being used nothing as a more than a political pawn, so they could add these crazy, stupid regulations that are destroying our nation. And I'll tear that. If I were president, I'd say, EPA, your history. And I'd put their old jobs and make them part of NOAA, National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration, where it belongs. And I would take, I'd start a program that would immediately start doing a transition into a flat or fair tax, and I would be immediately taking away taxation from corporations so they could start hiring people and getting our economy back up and running. And this post is going to do a total explanation of how it can be done, but most of it would be done with going after all the pork programs that we're employing over a million people through and getting rid of them. That money once freed up, could turn around, and if you cover all the programs we need, it could take care of Medicaid and Medicare, Social Security, the VA, and take care. What? Not
I
true.
Said, isn't
that true? Oh, yeah, it is. I mean, and, you know, once you get rid of this pork, then you can, you know, you can afford everything else. And also, you cut the government in half. You know,
what my solution would be? I put Herman Cain in charge of the EPA and the dismantling of it. Now, that would fix them all up. I always liked Herman Cain's answer for who to put in charge of the EPA. Put somebody in charge of the EPA that's been destroyed by them over the last 20 years. Put a good building contractor in charge of the EPA. people. But you know what, Dan? I really think that the calling for the cutbacks of the federal government, I think they've done an overreach, and I really think we're going to see that this next summer as we go through heading towards in November. I think these candidates are going to make that a huge issue. We know that last week, Eric Cantor, the majority leader, lost hugely. He didn't just lose a little. He lost by 10 points to a challenger, a strong incumbent. And basically, it's because Eric Cantor has been following the big government mantra. He's for amnesty and all these other things. And the Tea Party, which basically is saying the same thing over and over again, quit spending too much money, lower our taxes, and the federal government cannot micromanage. Let the state governments handle what they're supposed to handle. And that's basically it. We've got another election coming up here real quick, I think in the next week or so. Thad Cochran, who's been there since Methuselah, he's going to be he's like 10 points down right now against Daniels, another challenger. We've got Joe Carr up in Tennessee, who's challenging Lame Alexander. You know, Tennessee's got two of the worst senators we've got that are Republicans. Bob Cork the Dork. Corker and Lame Alexander, they might as well just be Democrats. I really would rather have Democrats in that spot than have two Republicans that are acting like Democrats. At least we know what they are. But Joe Carr looks like he's very well going to push over Lamar Alexander. It's getting really, really close down to winning Tennessee's. And I believe that we're sitting at the edge of a stack of dominoes. You ever take your dominoes out and you know, sometimes we were talking earlier about playing 42, or this afternoon we played Mexican Train at our potluck today. But sometimes it's fun to take those dominoes out and line them up, and then you push the dominoes over. You ever played that? I really think Eric Cantor losing that election was the first domino. And I believe we've got about 22 more primary elections coming up where there are challengers to a Republican incumbent, where it looks like we could win quite a few of them. And if we do, it is going to send – I said the night of when last week when we talked when Eric Cantor lost, I believe it was the shot heard around the world when it comes to conservatives. Now, Dan, here in Texas, the number one state, you know, the number one state, Texas –
I've heard of it somewhere.
The Tea Party and the conservatives have been winning. We basically won almost every primary race. The only places we didn't win in the left is really, really been smart in where they put their time and their effort was these school district races and the educational races. We didn't win very many of those, but when it came to the State House and the State Senate and of course, Sid Miller, Agricultural Commissioner, and those different kinds of races, the conservatives won big time. The Tea Party people won big time in Texas. We basically got rid of the Texas Solution, which I believe the Republicans, the establishment Republicans, were planning on using as a jump board for a final jump at amnesty. I think amnesty is pretty much dead this year with Cantor losing that election. I think they're going to have a real hard time getting anywhere close. You know, once you start going down that road, people start getting skittish. Two things we're going to see happen as we go throughout towards the end of the summer and on in towards the elections. Number one, we're going to see Democrats running for Barack Obama. They're getting ready to go into their elections, and they don't want to be even anywhere close to the far-left social platform that Barack Obama is just openly espousing at this point. He's basically saying that he's in charge, and it doesn't matter what Congress does. If he doesn't like what they want done, then he just does his own thing. I think we're going to see a lot of Democrats, especially more of a middle-road Democrat, running from the administration like nobody's business. And I believe we're going to start seeing a lot of these Republicans that are a little bit more moderate running towards the right in a lot of these things because they're starting to really realize that the American people, anytime you poll the American people and ask them, and this has been this way for two decades that I've been following politics, 12 to 15% consider themselves far left. And a fraction of those really even understand what far-left socialism actually really is. Most of them would not believe and agree with what the President of the United States is doing, taking unilateral decision-making in our three branch governments. But 60% of the country, when polled over the last 20 years, has called themselves conservative. And the rest are left to be called, and they call themselves moderate. We are still not even a far cry for being the socialist left kind of country that Barack Obama would like to think. And so that's why I keep talking about that pendulum. I think that pendulum is just about ready to let loose. And let me tell you, when it goes sailing towards the other side, you just might see some of the gun laws that Congress has enacted knocked out of the water. We saw it in the 80s. We saw where we saw President Ronald Reagan really dismantle some federal regulations and hand that power back over to the states. I think in this situation, it's going to be about the states finally deciding that we got to take it back. You know, Dan, another thing, and I'll let you talk about this a little bit. I've got about 16 on my phone, so it looks like my phone's going to hold out to about 5. I think I've got about 10 more minutes. But, Dan, you've talked about this last week, and I'd like to talk to it about it for our listeners a little bit more. The federal government has come in and traded out helicopters in the National Guards for what, taxis or something? They're taking the good helicopters for the Army And leaving the, you explain that one.
Well, and here in Florida, what they did is they started out, I think it was 3 weeks ago. And what they're doing is they took our Apache helicopters first, and they replaced them with what they said, fixed-winged aircraft, which probably means Cessnas. And they did the exact same thing with the Blackhawks. They took them away from our National Guard and replaced them with fixed-winged aircraft. So now our National Guard gets to fly Cessna 172s instead of their what they're supposed to be flying. And this is so, I mean, it is so blatant. It's ridiculous. And it's time to, you know, turn around and say enough is enough. And I think the people are so pissed off right now is that, as you said, I think that everybody's going to be jumping ship against Barack Obama. And I think what's going to happen is that once impeachment begins, you're going to see a lot of Democrats voting to impeach, and you're going to see a lot of these programs that were instituted when Barack was allowed to do anything. And, the Democrats were going along with them because they thought they could get away with it, and they thought they could get the people to follow them. Now that they're finding out that the people aren't following them, people are upset. People are real upset, and they thought they had much more of a liberal nation than they have. Their numbers are not that high. There are not nearly enough people that are willing to follow, and they couldn't even start a civil war. They tried it a couple weeks ago with a group saying that, you know, they were trying to start a war, and everybody walked away from them. So I'm like, yeah, everybody. And, you know, it's to the point now that this president is losing power by the minute. And, as I said, when Pelosi and Feinstein start backing off, when Clinton starts, doing the exact same thing. She's trying to figure out how to put distance between herself and him. The only person who is sticking by his side is Holder, and it's because he's too stupid to realize that there's nothing he can do to stop it. Because once, as you said, once that pendulum comes back, very many of you older people remember the movie The Pit and the Pendulum. And once that pendulum comes down and it starts dropping a little further, he or she swing. And Obama's going to be in the middle. And it's not going to be pretty. It's going to be, his political career is going to be sliced and diced, and as well as all of his followers. And you're going to, that's why the Democrats are going to be running, like bilge rats from a sinking ship. Because right now, anybody who's stupid enough to stay with them is going down with them. And I am going, it's going to be actually enjoyable to watch it happen because it's long overdue, and I'm going to be sitting down there laughing as it's all happening and knowing that, it was his stupidity, but it was our work that really brought it to the people. And, you know, I'm wondering how the media is going to try to backpedal and say that, you know, they were unaware of these programs, because this is when we can start bringing out all the work we've done and start showing that this is this information has been around for a long time, that this is not something that just happened. This is something that, you know, we knew about from basically day one. And we've proved that Extortion 17, Benghazi, the whole kit and caboodle, they knew the whole thing from day one. And, you know, we're also looking at it. You're seeing that Fast and Furious, they're not going to be able to deny that either. And I hope they go back to Solyndra and show at all of it. The IRS, the EPA, well, everything, and show all these programs that have been destroyed. You know, it's it's ridiculous, and it's time to you know, tell this nation what really has been going on. And once people start waking up in masses, this is going to get real, real, real ugly. You're going to have a lot of people who feel betrayed. And, you know, once that happens, once this nation finds out that they've been lied to and they've been betrayed, they're going to turn on this administration, and they're going to just rip it apart. And I'm sure glad we're all on the right side, because I wouldn't want to be in their position right now. And I am sure glad that we've, you know, all the work we did has paid off finally. And, you know, what Jennifer did over in Louisiana, saving Tony, and, you know, what we've done over, you know, online and going to these various political events. You know, what Kim did with her two rallies and raising money for candidates, and what Dee did with the music, and I can go on and on. I mean, there's been so many of us who have dedicated our lives for basically the last 6 years to make sure that the people eventually learned, and we're ready to take it to the streets if it was totally necessary, and we are encouraging that. We still do until the radios and, you know, TV starts really en masse starts telling the truth, and we'll all let you know when that happens. And until then, we're going to keep that fight up, you know, till it's over. And come November, you know, I'm not putting down my keyboard until I see the election results. And I'm sitting there laughing like a school kid when I see that, you know, these liberals and good old rhinos going down by 10, 12 points, you know, not losing by a little, but getting their keisters hit, you know. It's going to be nice. I'm going to be enjoying the whole thing. And I'll be raising a glass of champagne with a toast every time it happens, because that's what that's what it deserves. And each and every one of them, I want to make sure never, ever, ever seeks public office again. You know, I just can't wait for all this to happen. All our work is coming through to fruition, and I couldn't be happier. With that, I'll pass it back to you, Scott. Okay, Scott, are you there? Or Jennifer, are you there? I think I'm alone, people. So for the next 50 minutes, looks like you're going to have to listen to me. As I said, next week I'm going to be here, next few days. Keep an eye out in the Pundit Press, because I'll be writing a piece on how we can dismantle this mess we have in the federal government and get it down to where it's supposed to be. Right now, it's, as we all know, it is turned into a monster. And we have to sit back and we have to get a president elected who is willing to take this mess apart and let us start anew. And the first thing I would do is go after the pork programs. All the ones that got these rhinos and these liberals elected are gone. And if we do that alone, we'll free up so much money. You know, we won't have to cut any of these social service programs. Matter of fact, the Medicaid and Medicare, I promise you, will end up with more money than they ever had before. And same with Social Security. And if we turn around and we'll also have enough money to rebuild our military. And I would make sure that that we turned around and we just start making sure that we start changing who's in the military, who's running things, and start replacing them with the people that Obama kicked out, and I'd be asking them to come back, because it is him, it's these people who were willing to follow him are the ones that are going to be kicked out. And I would turn around and replace them with people who are dedicated patriots and get our military going again and going back to the way it's supposed to be. You know, and our borders would have a three-tiered fence, with the middle fence being electric, all starting from southern Texas and going right over to the Pacific Ocean. And it would be, you know, the fence would go down 10 feet with it would go down 10 feet with, and then equipment, sound hearing equipment would be put, all along. So that if they tried to dig under, then we could, our Border Patrol agents could turn around and stop any attempts to break through our borders. And, it would be, I would make sure that there was reforms done with how fast, the process would go to becoming American the American to become an American, the process. This would be the time when, major reforms would take place. And this is when wait a minute, sorry, folks. I'm trying to type here, and I apologize for this. We're having a little technical difficulties with our other two hosts. Scott's phone died, and Jennifer's trying to come on. And I'm trying to talk to her. And typing. So I apologize for that. But, we need to start tearing all this apart, all this garbage that has grown for the last 50 years, and get rid of it. The EPA needs to go away and become part of the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration. And then we need the IRS to be dismantled, and it would be a person like, Herman Cain or somebody, who has, some personal feelings about it. So we could turn around and start dismantling it and working it so we can do a nice, good transition over to a flat tax and fair tax program without creating too much of a ruffle in the system. But it would, the entire goal would be lowering taxes. And the way we, right now, we're employing over 1 million people in the federal government that do absolutely nothing. And these are the, we're going to outsource everything that what little they were doing will be outsourced. And they can find jobs in the private sector. Right now, I don't know, people, if any of you know, but they were going through the cities with the highest incomes in the country. And D.C. was number one. You know, and what are they doing? Nothing. We've seen that. We've all seen that. And this is ridiculous. You know, they're driving around in their Mercedes. And BMWs and Jaguars, while we're sitting here barely surviving. They're saying how they want to help the poor, and the poor is the ones they're taking from and they're feeding from. You know, I'm the first person to want to help the poor, and you know how you help the poor? You give them jobs. You give them good paying jobs. And how do we do that? You know, it's we're doing it because we can do it just by getting companies back up and running, by taking the taxes away from taking the taxes away from them, so they can start hiring, you know, research and development personnel. And as more and more people go from the unemployed to the employed, well, what happened is that there'll be fewer and fewer people to draw from. And when what happens eventually is that there's nobody else, you know, to draw from. So the only way they're going to get people to join their companies is by paying. Then you'll see minimum wage coming up, and it'll come up fast. Excuse me, it'll come up very fast. And this is the way we get rid of poverty. Because wouldn't you rather earn your own money and be able to just go from just barely just scraping by with what the government gives you to making enough that you can buy a nice car and live in a nice place and not in some, you know, in some hovel because the government's not giving you enough? And then all of a sudden you'll see your benefits or your health care go from being, you know, a pittance to being really, really good. And the other thing would go, what would happen is I'd bring down and I'd go after tort reform immediately, because what lawyers are doing, you know, when we're looking at why we're paying so much in health care, all I have to tell you is look at the poster, the billboards when you drive down the street. Look at how many lawyers are telling you to sue. Well, you know where that money, you know something? That money comes, has to come from somewhere. When a when a person sues a drug company or a doctor or something like that, the insurance company has to pay that. But the insurance company is not made of money. So what they have to do is they have to raise the rates on the doctors. And in turn, or the pharmaceuticals or whatever, and in turn, that money has to be recapped, and it is passed along to the consumer. And that's why we're paying so much in health care today. And all you've been told by this president is a line of baloney. And all the people who have been following him, you've been fed a bunch of crap. And if you allow the free market system to work like it did back in the 80s, for those of you who are old enough, you remember back in the 80s, we had health care that was phenomenal. I paid $2 copays on my medications. I paid $5 copays to go see my doctor. And if I had a serious illness, my deduction was under $1,000. And then everything else was covered. And that, you know, we can go back to those days. And we can go back to the days where we'll be able to live on one income. Because the more we remove in taxation, the lower it's going to cost for you to buy your products and services, and it'll lower your cost of living. And that's all we have to do. And why is our cost of living so high? Taxes. And who get benefits from taxes? Not you. Not me. The federal government. For every dollar you pay in taxes, we get back, we the people get back a dime. That's not a very good investment. That's not very good at all. So my solution, and the solution of those of us who know economics, the solution is to lower the government's overhead. And that's getting rid of everything that is not necessary. And the other half wants you to believe that doing that would be taken away from the people. And that's not the truth. We'd be giving more back to the people. We'd be giving more to the poor instead of less. And this is why we need to turn around, take the bull by the horns, and start bringing our government down to a reasonable size. Please, each and every one of you, go down to Walden Books, any of the bookstores that are in your area, or even just read it online. Read the Constitution. It really doesn't take long. And you'll see, look at the things that it's responsible for. It's not responsible for all that much. The majority of what responsibilities it has is basically the road system, our military, and not a heck of a lot more, and our monetary system. beyond that, it has no more responsibilities. The when it comes down to the Bill of Rights, what the Supreme Court has been doing is illegal and against the Constitution. And you can, again, read that, because the Supreme Court is not there to create laws. It's there to interpret. And interpreting laws by saying we need to put prevent people from owning guns or from free speech, that's not what they're there for. And that would be cleaned up as well. And we need to turn around, and we need to, as I said, we get rid of the all the damn pork that we're paying for, and we turn around, and we once we do that, so much money would be freed up. It would be incredible. It really would. You don't know how many hundreds of billions of dollars are lost because it's being, you know, payoffs and creating jobs that really don't even exist, where people are making money on fake jobs. And, or congressmen who are driving around and making, leasing cars that cost $1,100 a month on their lease payments. Something's wrong. When that kind of stuff happens and it's being allowed, something's wrong. You know, and then they're turning around and they get these benefit packages, you know, health care benefit packages that are, you know, best available that money can buy, and then they expect us, you know, to live on Obamacare. These are the things that would need to be changed. You know, what job in the private sector could any of you tell me, you know, please write to me if you know, of any jobs in the private sector that will give you 100% of your benefits, 100% of your salary for the rest of your life, after working for the company for 4 years or 6 years? There's not a company out there. And you know something? Are they better than us? Who elected them? We elected them. You and I. So, you know, it is, we're the boss, not them. And it's about time they realize that. And the next president needs to turn around and make sure this all happens. That these, you know, benefits and all this crap goes away, because this is where all our money's going. And what they're doing is they've been lying to us for a long, long, long time. And it's time that we the people took our rightful positions. That we the people, excuse me, take over. And if the people we elect do not represent our best need, our best interest, and the interests of the country, then they need to go away. And they need to go away quickly. You know, being able to serve your nation in Congress or in the Senate is an honor. And these people have taken this honor and they have created it and made it into a den of fools. And they think that they're fooling everybody. And they aren't. There's a lot of people like myself and my two coworkers who have known about this, you know, and I could go down, you know, Wayne Dupree and J. Carl Smith, and, you know, there's hundreds of us who have been working diligently. You know, Josh Bernstein, he's been, you know, all of us have been working on this for a long, long time. And we've been, you know, trying to get the word out to everybody through, you know, doing these programs like we're doing here today. You know, I write on my daily post, and you can see that on the, just by typing in Pundit, P-U-N-D, intpress.com, and I'll go over to contributors and just go down the list and read what each one of us have posted. You know, we have something like six or seven writers that were here all the time, and all you have to do is read what we post, and we'll keep you filled in on what's going on and what's, you know, the truth and what are lies. And you can do that through the other groups too. I thought that I mentioned just a little while ago. Get on Facebook, get on Twitter, and search our names out. You know, go to Blog Talk Radio. Go to each one of our web pages. You know, go to Jennifer Montrose's web page. Go to Scott Osborne's web page. Go to mine. You know, there's information everywhere. If you want the truth, all you have to do is go out there and look for it. Join the pages, you know, the various conservative web pages, Facebook pages. They're located all over the place. You know, all you do is write in conservative on the top line of Facebook, and so many pages will pop up. And then just start asking to join them. And then when you go in, you know, be honest and just say, listen, I've been one of the people that's been asleep for a while, and I need to, you know, be brought up to what's, you know, to the present so we know what's going on. Do searches for grassroots. And do searches for Tea Party. You know, all these groups can tell you, you know, the truth of what's going on. You know, we aren't getting paid, so why don't, you know, why would it benefit me to not tell you the truth, or for Scott not telling you the truth, or Jennifer, or, you know, any one of us. There is no reason why we would lie to you. So just listen to us, and we'll try to give you as much of the truth as we know. And we are out there digging. When we aren't writing, we're out there digging and trying to find out the answers. How, you know, Jennifer, she heard about Tony the Tiger. And Jennifer went from Alabama and drove to Louisiana. And just to work on this, you know, state sovereignty, you know, issue. I mean, it wasn't only Tony the Tiger, it was state sovereignty. Where we're telling the state that, no, you cannot take over our country. I mean, our nation or our state. You know, go to groups in Texas that, you know, they're saying, no, you aren't going to take over our water. Or go to Florida, you know, we're sitting there going, no, you aren't going to force us in the Common Core. We'll be fighting, we're fighting tooth and nail on all of these issues. Because we're doing what we know is best. You know, our nation and our Constitution was written the way it was because our forefathers saw all this happening. They saw it happening so clearly that they said, okay, this is the way we're going to prevent it. And they gave us the rights so we could defend ourselves. So we could speak out against the government, that they couldn't come in and search our homes. You know, all these are in our amendments. You read the first, which, you know, says that, no, the government's not going to tell me what religion to practice, and no, they cannot tell me that if I want to put a nativity scene in the town square, as long as the rest of the town people agree with it, the federal government has no right to say no, and they have no ability to say no. All the crap they've been telling you about all these years is a lie. They don't have that ability. We have given them that ability. We have said it's okay because we haven't stood up against it. Now it's time to stand up against it. Now it's time to say we're going to take our states back. You aren't coming in and telling us what to do. And if we want to have nativity scenes and Stars of David, you know, in our town squares, and we want to celebrate Hanukkah and Christmas, and we want, you know, a time when all of us as citizens of the United States can unite together. You know, we used to use Christmas as that period of time. And we're going to do it again, where we all can come together no matter what our religious backgrounds are. And we're going to turn around and we're going to hold arm in arm and wish each other, you know, good tidings. And we're going to show the world that, yes, we can live together as one. that it doesn't matter what one's religion is, but every December, as the holidays draw near, excuse me, we're going to come together and it's goodwill for all mankind. And we're going to stand there not under our religious beliefs as much as we're going to be standing under the stars and stripes. The 13 stripes that indicate the 13 original colonies. That blue background called the Union. Why is it called the Union? Because this is where we're united. And each star not only represents a new state, but it represents a new constellation, a new way of thinking, a new way of living. The living in the land of the free. And where your dreams can come true. If you want to become a doctor or a lawyer, or a pharmacist or a rocket scientist, you can do it. There's nothing stopping you here in the United States. See, this is what's so beautiful about this nation. As your dreams can come true. Excuse me, sorry. Every one of your dreams can come true. Or if you just want to dig ditches, you can do that too. All you need to succeed in this nation is a desire. And let me tell you about one person who is epitomizes that very thing. And it happened at the worst time of this nation. It was back in the 1850s, or actually began in the 1840s, when this little kid, he was a six-year-old slave, and he was asking the slave owner's wife to teach him how to read. And the slave came over, the slave owner's husband came over to his wife and said, "Don't teach him, because otherwise he's going to be a useless slave." And this little six-year-old goes, "Why would I be useless if I learned how to read? That means if I learn how to read, I can be like them." So behind the scenes, anytime you'd see a newspaper or anything like that, he went out and he grabbed it and he taught himself to read. And as time went on, he got better at reading. He started teaching his fellow slaves. Well, by the time he was 20 years old, he was, pretty well versed at reading, and he started understanding mathematics. And he said it was time. So one night he snuck away, and he made his way to the coast where he found a job on a ship going over to England. And, of course, he had a bounty on his head because he was still a slave. But he came back a few years later with enough money to buy his freedom. And he came back and he went over to the slave owner and gave him $750. For his own freedom, which back then was a heck of a lot of money. And so he turned around, and after he bought himself his freedom, he heard of the abolitionist movement, and he started working with them. And he grew from just being a slave. He grew up into being one of the leaders. And, you know, when it came to the Whig movement, the Whig Party was falling apart. And it was being replaced by a new group called the Republican Party. When the Republican Party needed people behind it. So the abolitionist movement said, we're going to back and support you. And they went out and they supported the first president. And his name was Abraham Lincoln, a person who was against slavery. And this person's name was Frederick Douglass. And he advised Lincoln. And as time went on, he would become advisor to the next four presidents after Lincoln, right up through General Ulysses S. Grant. That was the last he was an advisor to before he retired. During that time, Frederick Douglass had written three books. He was the first, and at the first meeting of the suffrage group for women's rights, he was the only man asked to speak. He had a net worth of over $400,000, which would equal out to like $30 million today. As I said, he had written three books, and he died in the top 1%. A man who, for the first 20 years of his life, did not own his own body, made it to the top. Now, if that doesn't show each and every one of you that the American dream is possible, even with the, you know, most everything against you, all it requires is will, dedication, and you can make it happen. And this is what's so beautiful about this nation. It doesn't matter what color you are. You can be pink with purple polka dots. You know, it really doesn't matter. What matters is what lies inside. You have to have that drive. You have to have honesty. You have to have conviction. And if you have those things, and you are willing to put in the effort and the time, you can accomplish anything you want. And that's what this nation is all about. And that's what socialism will take away from you. That's what communism will take away from you. You don't have those rights. they tell you what you're going to be. And the freedom here, what this president tried to do, telling you that the rich were against you. Well, let me tell you this. The rich were the ones who made this country. And when they started building railroads and things like that, they created jobs. And that's where we had a middle class that came out of. So it's a crock of baloney with everything they've told you. And now they're trying to, the socialist movement is trying to take it out away from us. They're trying to remove God from our country. And they're trying to set a series of lies saying that they can do that under the federal government, and they can't. See, each one of our states is a sovereign, it's like a middle country, a little country on its own. And it has the ability to make its own decisions. And the federal government has no right to interfere with what those decisions are. So let's stand up and take our rights back. Take our states back. And don't let these jerks try to run us again. You know, think about it. And think about what our representatives has given us. What have they given us in return? For all the money that they've taken out of our paychecks, all the money we had to pay into taxes, and what have we gotten in return? Just be honest with yourself. Think about it. What have we gotten in return? A bunch of baloney. A bunch of lies. They tell you whatever they think we want to hear. And after that, they don't care. Because all of a sudden, for the next, you know, until the next election year, you can't even get all of them. Well, it's time to say goodbye to these people. And it's time to say, we want our nation back, and we want our states back, and we want our rights back. Get up and say, I'm angry. I'm damn angry, and we aren't going to take it anymore. And scream it out. We are not going to take it anymore. And make sure that they hear it in Washington. And this is all of us. This is not a Democratic thing. This isn't a Republican thing. This is an American thing. We all get up and say, we aren't going to take it anymore. We are not going to turn around and take what you've given us. We are no longer going to pay for your fancy houses and your fancy cars. We have dreams and we have goals too. And we are not going to allow you to take that away from us. And we aren't going to allow you to create a nation of poor people. All of us have our dreams and we all want to reach them, and we are not going to let you take that away from us. So join in, people. as I said, look around for these different movements. And if you don't have them on your other side in the Democratic Party, you can copy what we're doing over here and do it over on your side. You had a great president named John F. Kennedy, who said, ask not what your nation can do for you, ask what you can do for your nation, and follow his lead. And, you know, for that, we're coming up to the top of the hour. For those of you stuck around listening to my rhetoric, thank you very much, and I will be talking to you all on Saturday. Remember all our shows that we have, and may you have a wonderful, glorious week, and I'll be talking to you all on Saturday. Well, thanks a lot for listening to American Sovereignty Radio, and we'll talk to you soon. This is Dan Wilson, signing out.